I shifted a little bit on my preparation this week, and I used everybody know who Daryl Johnson is? Maybe not everybody, but he's a teacher, preacher, pastor, semi-retired. He wrote a book, I guess it was just a couple years ago, called 57 Words That Changed the World, so on prayer. So I used a lot of this for this week. We purchased two copies for the library, so if you're interested, this is a great book. Let's pray again. We're going to do some praying today, so since we're in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, Lord, you are so good to us, Lord. Lord, we do pray that your kingdom would come in our midst in a greater measure. And even this morning, Lord, continue to have your way. Holy Spirit, have free reign in this place. May you be the one leading us and guiding us, pointing us to Jesus. And may we know again and again that, Father, you are good, that we have a good Father in heaven that cares for us and is holy. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You are blessed, Lord Jesus. Be glorified this day in our lives. Be glorified this day in our church. Be glorified this day in our city. Lord, we long for you, Jesus. Come this morning again and again in our midst, we pray. Amen. So we're going to shorten the reading. We'll read verses. We're in Matthew chapter 5, or sorry, chapter 6, verses 5, and we're going to stop reading at verse 15 today, and we will spend some time in this passage. And so do we have slides? I think we have slides for that. I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray." Read it together? Let's read it together. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So you got a little handout this morning, if you so chose to take one, that I thought would be like a little prayer guide that you could take home with you to give you a little structure. So we'll use this a little bit and a little bit later on. How does one cover the Lord's Prayer in one message? Well, you really can't. So we're actually we're going to spread this over 2 weeks, which still isn't really adequate. We could actually do a multi-week sermon on the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to do so. It'll be a bit more of an overview, and we'll get up to "Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and then we'll pick up the second half of the prayer in a couple weeks. Next week is Testimony Sunday. We're also going to do something a little different. So after the "Our Father who art in heaven," we'll take a pause and we'll take some time to pray or worship or praise. And then we'll take another pause after the "Your kingdom come, your will be done," also again to take some time to pray. And then we'll see how that goes. And then we'll flow back into having the worship team lead us. So let's start with a few thoughts. Not in this passage, but in Luke 11:1, there's another version of the Lord's Prayer. But the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And it's actually the only thing, at least that we have written in Scripture, where the disciples actually asked Jesus to teach them something, and it's how to pray. There's nothing about teaching how to heal, cast out demons, how to preach, teach, how to do all kinds of other things, but they do ask, how do we pray? And so Daryl Johnson says it's not so much Jesus teaches some new spiritual techniques that will help us stay awake when we pray and make us feel that our prayers matter, I take the request to mean, Jesus, will you teach us how to relate to the one you call Father the way you do? Let me say that again. Teach us how to relate to the one you call Father the way you do. And so when we talk to Jesus, it can be very convert. There's all kinds of ways to pray, right? So there's, you know, books written, as I've just shown you, on that. But a lot of it is kind of conversation. What is on your mind and on your heart? And what's an important factor, especially with the work of what Jesus did on the cross, is that we have access, right? We have access to God the Father, to God Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and we are partnering with God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in the world. Another thought is the scope of this prayer, very simply, according to Daryl Johnson, I think he's right. It kind of covers every aspect of life and relationship we can have in very short prayer, 57 words. And we can look at the prayer being broken down into two parts. So the first part talks about your kingdom, your will. And then the second part, which is the one we'll talk about in a couple weeks, it's about us, our needs, us. Give us our daily bread. But why? Why even pray? I mean, God could do whatever he wants. He doesn't need us to pray. Well, one, again, we could talk much about this. One, it is, this is how he's chosen to work, through prayer, the idea of partnership or relationship, that we're in relationship with God. And two, realizing there is nothing we can do without God. We are dependent upon him. And when we pray, that is one of the most amazing ways to declare our dependence upon God and our need of him. Okay, before we get into the prayer, let's talk about the verses 5 to 8 a little bit. I like Bruner. I've mentioned Bruner before. I like him. He says in this part, there's two anti-rules. Isn't that good? I like that. Anti-rules. And he says two things, right, in the passage. He says, one, don't pray for show. Right? We touched on that last week. Monica, when she preached, talked about giving, right? So don't pray, you know, it's not for show. And two, don't go on and on. All right, let's talk a little bit about that. So some of the rabbis, they would pray on the street corners out loud so everyone could see them, right? So they kind of made it a show, like, look at me, I'm praying, and don't do it for show. So, you know, when Pastor Daniel comes, if you see him on the corner out there, praying out loud, you have my permission to go say, hey, you shouldn't do that. I'm sure he's not going to do that. But that's kind of what they did. Of course, there is not a great corner because they would go to places where they could be seen, where there would be lots of people. So maybe it would be like going out on Broadway and, you know, one of us standing there praying out loud about, you know, how good, but it would be all about a show that we would be seen. And so what does Jesus say? He says, no, go to your closet and pray alone. And we see Jesus doing this on a regular basis, right? It says he went away many times to lonely places. And I think, of course, there's a posturing or an attitude that we can carry throughout the day wherein we're in this sort of place of prayer and in communication with Jesus. But there's also times set aside, dedicated, just to close ourselves in with God, to be in that relationship with him, to draw close to him, to be in that intimate place. And of course, it doesn't mean we can't pray together corporately, right? We see this, we have corporate prayer, but we see this through the book of Acts, that they gather together to pray as well together. It's interesting, Jesus talks about a reward, you'll be given a reward. I would say for me, if I think of that, I'm sure we can talk about other things, but the being in Jesus' presence, in that intimate place with him, in relationship with him, that is a reward. To be intimate with our Father in heaven. Then in verses 7 and 8, he says, don't go on and on. Now, other verses, it talks about pray without ceasing, right? And Jesus went away a long time. So what was he doing for all that long time? And also later in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, it talks about praying persistently. So what's happening here? So it's not necessarily about not praying long, but... if we talk about like some of the pagans and the surrounding culture at that time, it was like this ritualistic prayer with much repetition. And some of the religions still do that today. and thinking that they will get what they want by repeating over and over, kind of like a mantra. You just kind of say the same thing over and over again, and you'll get what you want, which is really kind of actually a form of magic. That's kind of how magic works. It's a formula. Think of it as a vending machine, right? You take your money, you put it in the vending machine, you press the button, you get something out, right? You have the special words or the right thing to say. If you have the right formula, then you will get what you want from some sort of in something in the spiritual realm. And that's what Jesus is saying, do not do that. So it's okay if we can repeat, for sure. But this is more about the relationship with God. It's relational. It's not transactional. It's not a formula. It's not, if I have the right special prayer, then I will get what I want, right? That makes it a formula. And of course he knows. He knows what are the things that are on our heart. He knows what's going on. He knows what we need. There's other passages that talk about that. Also, if we want to notice this, is that the prayer, we just prayed it, it takes less than a minute to pray, right? So it's like, do we pray this prayer and we're done, right? That doesn't line up with some of the other things, like Jesus going away a long time. So it is a structure or a pattern that you can follow. And there's other books that talk very much how to really walk through that. And in your handout, that's just giving you like a brief structure that we could look at that. Okay, let's look a little bit at the prayer. So in verse 9, it says, this is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You could break this up into several parts. We'll do this in kind of two parts. So one, our Father in heaven, and two, hallowed be your name. Right, so right away, he's starting with our Father. Johnson says, to know the name of God is to know some essential truth about God's character. God is not God's name. God is a descriptive word, not a name. God has a name, a personal name. And he's not a distant God, right? We can say, oh, he is a mighty God. This is true, but he's not merely a mighty God, but a relational and intimate, like family. There is some nuances. We don't have time to go into that today, but I would say there's nuances, and there are some differences in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if you are taking notes, you could like look at Hebrews 12, the second half of Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 talks about these two mountains. And one was like not being able to approach God. And then the mountain in the New Testament, Mount Zion, being able to approach God. There's something that has shifted in terms of the intimacy and the access to God in the New Testament through the work of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, when we say our Father, for some of us, that can stir up all kinds of things, right? And I've talked to Monica after she preached last week. I said, that was great that you talked about Father last week. Because some of that was very relevant to this place as well, in that a lot of times when we are a father, that might stir up stuff depending on what our relationship was like with our natural father. And she mentioned, and I'll mention again, that our Father in heaven is not the same as our natural fathers. All of our natural fathers have failed, every one of them, right? Some very, very badly, right, as we know. And so some of us need to undo some of that perception of Father when we think of our Father in heaven. Because this Father is the kind that we can crawl up into his lap and he is safe. We use the word Abba, or they use the word Abba. Some of us use the word Abba in Aramaic. And it's an intimate term that's used by children to refer to their father. And it's stronger than our Western word. It has a stronger connotation than our Western word, Father. And if you note, isn't it interesting? Jesus doesn't say, my Father, right? He doesn't say, my Father in the prayer. He said, our Father. That's really important because we're being drawn into the same relationship that Jesus has with his Father in heaven. That's the invitation to us. To that same relationship with our Father in heaven. And so we can say our Heavenly Father. We could talk more about being in heaven, right? But we're going to move on to hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. The verb tense in this passage, in this line, comes across something like this. Let your name be holy on earth. Or Johnson says it like this. Be made holy, your name. Be made holy, your name. And what's interesting is, if you think about it, everything we pray, or when we worship and we praise, only God can make those things happen, right? Including his name being made holy on the earth. Only he can actually make that happen, right? By touching people. So what do we do? How do we participate in that first line? First, we're addressing our Father. And second, we can declare and pray and worship that he is holy, that he is good. And so we can start our time of prayer. You can ponder on him being our Father. And if you look at the handout I gave you, I've expanded it out, right? So we're Trinitarian, so we can expand it out to include our Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I put some different, it's not comprehensive, I just put a few different verses in there and characteristics. So if you want to take that, you can actually go through the verses and spend time. That expands out the, you know, the content of that first line. I often like to, when I'm wanting to lift up the name of Jesus, sure, sometimes I'll just say that verbally, but I often like to do that with music. And what's interesting about music, right, we have all kinds of different kinds of Christian songs, and some are, then they're fine, right? Like, God help me, I'm in this time of need. And then there's other ones that are like, they declare who Jesus is, right? God, you're good. God, you're holy. God, you are the deliverer, right? And it lifts up the name of Jesus, right? That's what it's talking about in this passage, lifting up the name of Jesus. And also in this part, you can pray, Lord, yes, we agree. Let your name be made holy in the earth. Let your goodness be known in the earth. Let who you are be made known in the earth. Now again, if you go in the prayer sheet, we're going to take a moment. We're going to stop here and take a moment. I'll open this, and I'm going to leave space, and you can just declare something about Jesus from your spot, or if you want, you can come up here too, right? So it is harder. I welcome people online. You may not hear some of the people. If you come up to the mic, people can hear you online, but it's a little awkward to pass the mic around. So we'll see how that goes. We'll take a few minutes to do that. And if you notice, so I don't forget, like I bracketed each of the lines with on the outside, our Father, and at the end, on earth as in heaven, right? So our Father, hallowed be your name, on earth as it is in heaven. And so you could take something from there if you want this morning, if you're comfortable. If you're from your seat, try loud enough so everyone can hear you, okay? Are you guys okay with doing that? Are we going to try to worship or praise the Lord? Like a little bit like we did just right after the worship. I thought that was like very well, it segued well into what we want to do this morning. So I will start with that. And if you're comfortable, just declare praise or that his name would be known, all right? All right, Lord. Jesus, you are good. You are worthy. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Father, your faithfulness is new every morning. Great is your mercy to us. Father, we declare your praises and your goodness in our midst. All right, I'll leave a bit of space.
My mom would put me to bed at night before he got home. And then I'd get up in the morning and he'd already have been gone to work. So he wasn't around. And I think that's part of what has made it difficult for me to relate to the Heavenly Father. But I can relate to Jesus. And the good news is he's working on that these past few months, big time. And I'm looking forward to it. But there was a time, a number of years ago, when we were in a worship service at Samuel's Mantle, and he interrupted the singing in my head with a picture of him way up at the front with, you know, like in the front of a huge gathering, could have been millions. And he pointed way to the back where I was sort of semi-hiding and said, you, come here. And I was maybe, I don't know, 5, 6 years old. And I went toddling up there eventually. And he picked me up and put me on his knee and loved on me like nothing on earth. That is what I want to continue to experience, and he's working on it.
Mm. Amen. All right, let's go on. All right, the next passage. We'll have another try. We'll have another go at it. We'll see how that goes. And so just to sum up that portion, who do we have? A Father. And we can say, as Tony said, we're Trinitarian, right? We can say about Father, Son, Holy Spirit in heaven, and his nature is holy and good. Next verse says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Johnson says, in heaven right now, the Father's name is being hallowed, his kingdom is being actualized, and his will is being done. O Father, make it so on earth. That is what Jesus is teaching us to pray. O Father, bring heaven down on earth right here. There's kingdoms in the world, all over the world, and in history they come and go, but not this one. In fact, it's continuing to grow. And really, if we think about it, history is moving forward toward his return. I actually think that is actually the main thing history is moving towards, is the return of Jesus to this earth. There's not some sort of it's not cyclical. There are sometimes things that are cyclical, but history is linear and is coming to a culmination with the return of Jesus. And we have a king in this kingdom, in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king of this presently unseen kingdom. Of course, it's seen in us, but it's not seen the way other kingdoms are seen on earth. And this kingdom of God can and does break through. Perhaps the question is, how much of it breaks through? Have we currently reached the limit of the breakthrough? Or is there more? Or is there always more? If there is more, how does this happen? Well, part of it happens when we pray, right? This prayer partnership. I know there's a part of it that is mysterious. I think it works like this. At least this has been some of my experience. Is that God initiates something, right? God's the initiator. He puts something on my heart, right? And then I have a choice to respond. Do I respond to that? And I pray that back to him. I think that's how it works. I can't remember if it was E.M. Bounds, but there was an author who says, God doesn't do anything but by prayer. And that's how he's chosen to work, in partnership with humans. And we pray this ultimately until he returns. We sang about it earlier, and the line is like, may we see your glory, let your glory come. What does this in breaking of the kingdom look like? What does it look like for the kingdom of God to break through? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I think there's an element of it that, of course, has to do with the power of God. And look, if you want to look at the prayer guide, I just put, again, just briefly some ideas of the kingdom breaking through. And I'll read through a few of these. Healing. I'm going to read just portions of the scripture. You have the scripture there. It says, healing. By his wounds you have been healed. Right? And we can talk about that. I mean, primarily that's talking about physical healing, but there's all kinds of healing. Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Miracles. Powers of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. Salvation. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We can talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And that's broad, but I'm taking this portion of Scripture where it talks about some of these that look more supernatural, with wisdom and knowledge, faith, again, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And in all of this, there's a manifestation of his presence. Of course, you know, we talk about God being omnipresent. He's always present. He's everywhere. But there's actually something about the manifest presence of God that does change. Like, think of the disciples at the Mount of Transfiguration. That was not just the omnipresence of God there. There was a visible manifestation, Jesus being glorified, and like, they didn't know what to do. Or think of John in Revelation falling down when he had this vision, fall down like a dead man. There's something about the presence of God, and some of you understand and have experienced that. There's an augmentation of the presence of God, and the power of God sometimes comes into those midst of us, and we see the fullness of his goodness and his inbreaking of the kingdom. We're only asking God to do what only he can do. I think the question for us, I think sometimes it's easy, you know, like, hey, church is pretty good these days, right? It's pretty good, Sam, you know? But do we want to see this? Are we content with the amount of the current kingdom's presence? Or do we want more? Do we want more? Are we fully surrendered to see the will of God fulfilled in our lives, in our church, and in this city? Amen. I'm very thankful that I had the privilege over the time here, over the last kind of year that I've been here, to have been able to baptize two people. It was great. It was really great, right? And I rejoice in that, and that's good. But that's a trickle, right? That's a trickle. I want a floodgate. I want the floodgates to open. That's what I long for. To see the floodgates of heaven open, that there would be a transformation in this city. And people talk about this city being hard. Okay, that's not too much for God, right? That's not too much for God. All right, we're going to try praying again. But first, I felt, I relate to this story. I read it years ago at a prayer meeting, and it kind of messes me up. I'm going to read this story. It is a bit long. But I felt Holy Spirit just wanted me to read this story as an example of kingdom breakthrough. All right, so it's story time. So you can listen for a few minutes. I didn't time how long it took, but it took a few minutes. It's out of Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Jim Cimbala pastors a church in Brooklyn, and started in the 70s. He inherited the church with 20 people, and I think they're over 10,000 now. So God has done quite a big work there. So this is him sharing in his book some of his story. And he talks a lot about prayer. So it's a great, I didn't bring it with me, but it's a great book if you haven't had a chance to read it. So this is about his life here. So it says, all my talking about prayer faced a severe test several years ago. So this would have been in 1990, when Carol and I went through the darkest 2.5 year tunnel we could imagine. Carol is his wife. Our oldest daughter, Chrissy, had been a model child growing up, but around age 16, she started to stray. I admit I was slow to notice this. I was too occupied with the church, starting branch congregations, overseeing projects, and all the rest that ministry entails. Meanwhile, Chrissy not only drew away from us, but also away from God. In that time, she even left our home. There were many nights when we had no idea where she was. As the situation grew more serious, I tried everything. I begged, I pleaded, I scolded, I argued, I tried to control her with money. Looking back, I recognized the foolishness of my actions. Nothing worked. She just hardened more and more. Her boyfriend was everything we did not want for our child. How I kept functioning through that period, I don't know. Many a Sunday morning, I would put on my suit, get into the car, and drive to the tabernacle early, ahead of Carol, and cry for the next 25 minutes all the way to the church door. God, how am I going to get through three meetings today? I don't want to make myself the center of attention. The people have problems of their own. They're coming for help and encouragement. What about me? I'm hanging by a thread. Oh God, my firstborn, my Chrissy. Somehow God would pull my nerves together enough for me to function through another long Sunday. There were moments, however, as we were worshiping God and singing, that my spirit would almost seem to run away from the meeting to intercede for Chrissy. I had no control. I had to control myself to stay focused on the people and their needs. While this was going on, we learned that Carol needed an operation, a hysterectomy. As she tried to adjust afterwards, the devil took opportunity to come after her and say, you might have this big choir, you're making albums, you're doing outreach at Radio City Music Hall, and all the rest. Fine, you and your husband can go ahead and reach the world for Christ, but I'm going to have your children. I've already got the first one. I'm coming for the next two. I might get emotional, so that's okay. Like any mother who loves her children, Carol was smitten with tremendous fear and distress. Her family meant more to her than the choir. One day she said to me, listen, we need to leave New York. I'm serious. That this atmosphere has already swallowed up our daughter. We can't keep raising kids here. If you want to stay, you can, but I'm getting our children out. She wasn't kidding. I said, Carol, we can't just do that. We can't unilaterally take off without knowing what God wants us to do. Carol wasn't being rebellious. She was just depressed after the surgery. She elected not to pack and run after all. And that was at the low point that she went to the piano one day, and God gave her a song that touched many more people than perhaps anything else she's written. That's a song called He is Faithful. You could look that up. It's a great, great song. We were calling on the Lord throughout all of this. In a sense, we were, but I couldn't help jumping in to take action on my own too. I was still to some degree the point guard waiting to grab the basketball, push it down the floor, make something happen, press through any hole in the defense I could find. The more I pressed, the worse Chrissy got. Then one November, I was alone in Florida when I received a call from a minister who I had persuaded Chrissy to talk to. Jim, he said, I love you and your wife, but the truth of the matter is Chrissy's going to do what Chrissy's going to do. You don't really have much choice now that she's 18. She's determined. You're going to have to accept whatever she decides. I hung up the phone, and something very deep within me began to cry out, never. I will never accept Chrissy being away from you, Lord. I knew that if she continued on this present path, there would be nothing but destruction awaiting her. Once again, as back in 1972, there came a divine showdown. God strongly impressed me to stop crying, screaming, or talking to anyone else about Chrissy. I was to converse with no one but God. In fact, I knew I should have no further contact with Chrissy until God acted. I was just to believe and obey what I had preached so often. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. I dissolved into a flood of tears. I knew I had to let go of the situation. Back home in New York, I began to pray with an intensity and a growing faith as never before. Right? You see here how God is initiating, right? God is initiating to stir him. Whatever bad news I would receive about Chrissy, I kept interceding and actually began praising God for what I knew he would do soon. I made no attempts to see her. Carol and I endured the Christmas season with real sadness. I was pathetic, sitting around trying to open presents with our other two children without Chrissy. February came one cold Tuesday night during the prayer meeting. I talked from Acts 4 about the church boldly calling on the Lord, on God, in the face of persecution. We entered into a time of prayer, and everyone reached out to the Lord simultaneously. Their main meeting is our Tuesday prayer meeting, and the church is full. An usher handed me a note. A woman who I felt to be spiritually sensitive had written, Pastor Simbala, I feel impressed that we should stop the meeting and all pray for your daughter. I hesitated. Was I right to change the flow of the service and focus on my personal need? Yet something in the note seemed to ring true. In a few minutes, I picked up the microphone and told the congregation what had happened. The truth is of the matter is, I said, although I haven't talked much about it, is that my daughter is very far from God these days. She thinks up is down, down is up, dark is light, light is dark. But I know that God can break through to her. And so I'm going to ask Pastor B to lead us in prayer for Chrissy. Let's all join hands across the sanctuary. As my associate began to lead the people, I stood behind him, my hand on his back. My tear ducts had run dry, but I prayed as best I knew. To describe what happened in the next minutes, I can only employ a metaphor. The church turned into a labor room. The sounds of women giving birth are not pleasant, but the results are wonderful. Paul knew this when he wrote, "My dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." There arose a groaning, a sense of desperate determination, as if to say, Satan, you will not have this girl. Take your hands off her. She's coming back. I was overwhelmed. The force of the vast throng calling on God almost literally knocked me over. When I got home that night, Carol was waiting up for me. We sat at the kitchen table drinking coffee, and I said, it's over. What's over, she wondered. It's over with Chrissy. You had had to be at the prayer meeting tonight. I tell you, if there's a God in heaven, this whole nightmare is finally over. I describe what had taken place. 32 hours later, on Thursday morning, I was shaving. Suddenly, Carol bursts through the door, her eyes wide. "Go downstairs," she blurted. "Chrissy's here. Chrissy's here. Yes, but yes, go down. But you just need to go down," she urged. "It's you she wants to see." I wiped off the shaving foam from and headed down the stairs, my heart pounding. I came around the corner. I saw Chrissy on the floor rocking. "Chrissy," she grabbed my pant leg and began pouring out her anguish. "Daddy, Daddy, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against myself. I've sinned against you and Mommy. Please forgive me." My vision was clouded by tears as hers. I pulled her up from the floor, held her close as we cried together. Suddenly, she drew back. "Daddy," she said with a start, "who was praying for me? Who was praying for me?" Her voice was like that of a cross-examining attorney. "What do you mean, Chrissy?" "On Tuesday night, Daddy, who was praying for me?" I didn't say anything, but so she continued. "In the middle of the night, God woke me and showed me I was heading towards an abyss. There was no bottom to it. It scared me to death. I was so frightened. I realized how hard I've been, how wrong, how rebellious. But at the same time, it was like God wrapped his arms around me and held me tight. He kept me from sliding any further and said, 'I still love you.' Daddy, tell me the truth. Who was praying for me on Tuesday?" I looked up into her bloodshot eyes, and once again, I recognized the daughter we had raised. Chrissy returned to the Lord, became evident immediately. By the fall, she had opened God had opened a miraculous door for her to enroll in a Bible school, where she not only undertook studies, but soon began directing music choir like her mother. Today, she's a pastor's wife. This is what we need. This is the kind of breakthrough we need. We can't do it. Like some of you know my story. You have your stories of people that are away from the Lord, people that need healing. This is the breakthrough we need. And we need to ask Jesus to stir our hearts, to see the kingdom breakthrough as we've never seen before. It will look different. It will look different. I know that this story is close to me because my second year, Chrissy came to the Bible school. I saw her transformed and her life transformed by the power of God. We need this in this city. There's so many people that need to know Jesus. There's people that need healing. I mean, I've talked this, maybe not up front here, but like we've had people die here of cancer. I'm tired of seeing people die of cancer. I want to see people get healed. I want to see people get delivered. There's people that are struggling with various things. This is the kingdom of God breaking through. This is what we need in our midst. And so now I'm going to ask the band if they can come up. Let's just take a few minutes. If there's something you want to call out to the Lord, sorry, Holly. Holly, you can collect yourself. Maybe Monica, you can play on the piano a bit. Let's take a few minutes to call upon the name of the Lord, okay? If something is being stirred in your heart, let's call upon the name of the Lord to see that. I'll start us off, and I'll leave some space again, and then we'll see how we go, okay? Jesus, this is your prayer, Lord. This is your prayer, Jesus, that you called us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will is always done in heaven. There's never a second or a moment that your will is not being done in heaven, ever. And yet you say to us, ask for that will to come down to earth and to break through, that your kingdom here on earth would break through. And so Jesus, even now, we call upon you, Lord. We call upon you and we ask you, Jesus, to come and break through with your kingdom. Lord, that we would see your glory, that we would see your glory, Jesus, that we would see people get saved, not by clever words, not by clever arguments, but by the power of Jesus, by the power of the kingdom, by the power of the Spirit. As we read in this story, it's only you, Jesus. It's only you that can save. It's only you that can deliver. It's only you that can heal, Lord. And we believe that we have not reached the fulfillment of that. We believe that there is more, there is more, Lord Jesus. There is more in our midst. There is more for this city. Lord, we reject that this city is a hard city. It is not hard for you, Lord. It is not hard for you. And so we call upon you this day. Breakthrough in our midst, Lord. Breakthrough in our midst, Lord. Lord, help us to posture ourselves. Posture ourselves to receive what you want to do. Move by your Spirit in our midst. Holy Spirit, have free reign in our midst. Holy Spirit, where we have fears, we're nervous of what it could look like, we're scared, help us, we pray, that you would have free reign to do whatever you want to do in this place, in this church, and in this city. We call upon you. We call upon you this day. Lord, we pray, Lord, for marriages. We pray, Lord, for physical healing, emotional healing, mental health healing, salvation, Lord Jesus. Salvation, Lord Jesus. Come into our midst, Lord. Come into our midst. Break through, Jesus. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the only one that can do it. We are desperate for you, Lord. We are desperate for you this day, Jesus. We are desperate for you, Lord, to see you break through, Lord. You know we cannot do it. We're dependent upon you, Lord. We're dependent upon you, Jesus. Help us, we pray. Thank you, Lord. If some of you want to come up and pray, just pray. Come on up, please pray, or pray from where you are. Go ahead and pray what's on your heart. If you want to pray out loud, just take a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus.
Jesus, would you release your anointing?
Yes.
Would you release an anointing to come before you as sons and daughters,
yes,
this day? To come before you as adopted,
yes,
not orphaned. Our Father who is in heaven. And Lord, we ask for your will to be done.
Yeah.
Your kingdom to come. And so, Lord, we seek you that your reign, your rule, your dominion would be made manifest here on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah. That's right.
Lord, will you break through the spiritual realm that your kingdom would be made manifest here on earth, that your light would come and break through the darkness, your light would come and break through the blindness, your light would come and break through the deafness.
Yes, Lord.
Your light would come and break through the hardness.
Yes,
your light would come and break through falseness.
Yeah.
Lord, let your kingdom come. We come before you and we say, Lord, let your will be done here on earth. Let it be done here.
Yes, Lord.
Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, by your Spirit, by your Spirit. And so, Lord, we yield to your Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We yield to you, Jesus. That if you come like a still small voice, or if you come like a raging river.
Yes, that's right.
We receive you,
yes,
however you come.
Yes, that's right.
And Lord, I ask that you would find us with our buckets ready to sink into the living water and to draw out the living water.
Yes.
And do what only you can do with,
yes,
living water. Holy Father, come, we pray. Come, we pray. come, we pray.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to lift up a prayer as well. Lord, I pray that you would soften the hard hearts.
Yeah.
And the weary hearts.
That's right.
That you would restore faith to us. Those who have been crying out to you for so long. Thank you that you hear us. But God, I just pray for faith. For those softened hearts, those hard hearts that need softening, God. To be able to see with your eyes. The way that you see, God, that you would give us faith, that you would give us hope, to know that whatever we give to you does not come back with nothing, that it's not vain, that it doesn't fall on deaf ears. You hear us and you do something with that.
Our prodigals home. Lord, those that have wandered away from you. Lord, our friends, our family. Lord, our neighbors, those that have never known you, Lord. Father, reveal yourself to them. Draw them to you, Lord. Lord, we ask, Father, for revelation knowledge to come to those that have wandered from you, Lord. Lord, I think of Paul on the road, Lord, where he was knocked down, Lord, by your light. Lord, do what you have to do, Lord, to get the attention of those we know and love that do not know you or knew you and wandered away, Lord. God, I say, Satan, let God's children go in Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. Let them go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Heavenly Father, I ask that you would give us the mind of Christ, that you would deliver us from our fears, from our insecurities, and from the things that hold us back from doing the things that you're asking us to do. And Lord, I pray that you would break that stronghold of fear that's been over our city and over our lives, and that you would deliver us from the strong man, Lord, that you would bind him and silence him and cast him away into the abyss in Jesus' name. And I pray there are many strongholds, Lord God, in this city. There are so many strongholds in this city, and I pray that you will start to break each one of them down. One by one, they will fall because they are not bigger, they are not stronger, they are not anything compared to you. You are bigger, you are stronger, you are the creator, you are the God above all gods, you are the mighty King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you can break every stronghold in this city and create this to be a place where only God is praised, where no one else is praised, where all those sins are gone, Lord. And I just pray that you would begin that process, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would fill us with that desire, that you would fill us with that just fire, Lord, that fire for you that brings us to a place where we can live out our lives worshiping you in such a way that others will be drawn to you just by our mere existence in their vicinity. So, Lord, I just pray that you would put that fire in us, that you would break everything down that's holding us back, and that you would help us to live in freedom. In Jesus' name.
May your kingdom come. Oh God, may your kingdom come. Spirit, make us ready. Make us ready to be part of that, to be part of bringing your kingdom. Make us ready to love. Make us ready to love in ways that don't make sense to the world, the way that you loved us first. Make us ready to love when we don't feel like it. Make us ready to show your love to people who don't deserve it the way that we don't deserve your love. Make us ready.